absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to show 117 of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural. My name is Laurent Bockmann, and today I'm glad to take you on that culinary trip to China and to Belgium. Yes, let us talk about food. In previous shows, we have talked about going abroad, about culture shocks and the different habits in foreign countries. But apart from the language and the attitudes of the culture, what about the local cuisine? What happens if you travel to a country in which you don't know anything about the food culture? Can you prepare yourself for such a situation before you leave? In our first category, Absolutely Different, I spoke with Mingxia, a business student from China who studies in Germany, and asked her about the differences between the Chinese and the German cuisine and why she finds it curious that the Germans eat the soup before the main dish.
We always drink the soup after the meal because it's good for digest. And I have seen that the Germans always eat the soup before the meal. It's so curious.
In our second category, Absolutely Fun, Philipp de Deurwerder from Belgium explains differences between German and Belgian food and especially drinking habits and what the Belgians think about the German beer consumption.
The idea that Germans drink a lot more alcohol is definitely present in Belgium because the idea that we have of Germans is, of course, you know, what's it called again? The Oktober Party or Oktoberfest in Munich. Where the smallest pint of beer is a liter.
In our third category, Absolutely Adventurous, I spoke with Karina, who spent a semester abroad in China. She told me how delicious chicken feet can be, if prepared in the right way. She assures us that you can eat the entire foot of a chicken, except for the nails.
There are the nails, but in fact, you can eat everything except the nails. Yeah. Okay. The bones are so small and so thin that you can eat them.
But let us start with the food show, and I'm tempted to start with a hearty bon appetit. I'm not sure whether you've seen the film Julie and Julia, which is all about food and preparing food and eating food and the cultural differences between food in America and food in France. So it's all about food, really. If you have not seen the film, please put it at the top of your list of films to see because it is full of little intercultural gems and Meryl Streep is just incredible in it. But make sure that you're not hungry when you see it because the food is so delicious you want to run out and get something to eat. In the film, Meryl Streep plays Julia Child, an American who is the wife of a diplomat in Paris and falls in love with the French way of cooking. She decides to introduce the French cuisine to the American housewife of the 50s by writing the book Mastering the Art of French Cooking. Now, what about you? What are you like? When you travel to a foreign country where you have a totally different cuisine from home, are you happy when you find a restaurant in which you can find dishes from your home country, or at least dishes that you know? Does the food really taste like in your own country, though? Are the specialities really the same as at home? I asked Mingxia, one of our business students from China, if the food offered in a Chinese restaurant in Europe is the same as the food offered in China. Now, in our first category, Absolutely Different, Mingxia talks about the delicious food in her home country and about the so-called Chinese food in Europe, which is not really Chinese, often not even prepared by Chinese chefs. While eating out in Europe can be quite expensive and is seen as a kind of luxury, in China, eating restaurant food is much cheaper and part of everyday life, especially for people who do not have the time to prepare their own meals.
They are very different. For example, the most Chinese restaurants here are not opened by Chinese people. They are always opened by the Vietnamese. And in European, there are not so many sort of vegetables as in China. And the ingredients and spices are also are so different, and you can even not buy the same spices in the Chinese supermarket in Germany as in China. And we also cook the food with high temperature and with the gas, not as in Germany with electricity.
Now, in Germany, when I go out for a dinner with my wife, this would cost us quite a lot. It's certainly not something we can do three times a week. But I understand that in China, this is a little different. I think you spent some time in Shanghai as well. Can you tell us?
I have been in Shanghai for 1 year, and I always go to a restaurant for lunch and dinner. And
every day?
Almost every day.
Really?
I don't have time to cook because I have to work from 9 o'clock to 18 o'clock at evening. And when I'm at home, it will be almost 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. And I'm so tired, so I have to go to the restaurant, or I only order the food and they bring the food to me.
Ah, the famous Chinese takeaway.
Yeah.
Now, well, this has arrived in Germany as well, actually, but it's not so popular. Most people, when they want food from a restaurant, they would actually go to the restaurant. Why do people order it to eat it at home in China?
For example, because they are too tired after the work, or the weather is too bad, they don't want to go out. The temperature is very high. For example, in the last summer, it was so hot in Shanghai, and I don't want to go out. So I only ordered the dinner for 1 week, and I even don't go out.
Now, I heard from some Chinese people that they have problems with milk products, and also that they don't really eat raw vegetables like salads a lot. Is that the same for you?
Yeah, I have problem with milk here in Germany. I cannot drink so much milk as in China. And the other Chinese friends had told me that I should cook the milk. Then I have no problem by drinking of milk.
Yes, actually, I heard the same, that milk gets processed somehow before it goes to China. Because apparently for the Chinese stomachs, it needs to be a little different. You told me that when you go to a restaurant, you have many dishes at the same time. How does that work?
If I go to a restaurant with my friends, we always order many dishes and we always share the dishes. So we don't eat like the German. They always have one plate and everyone only eat the food from one plate. We always share the food in the center of the table.
People in the Chinese restaurant told me that I should try out the soup. What's special about Chinese soup?
We always drink the soup after the meal because it's good for digest. And I have seen that the German always eat the soup before the meal. It's so curious for me.
Okay. And we think that Chinese people make noises when they eat or drink their soup. What about that?
When the Chinese people make noise at the meal, it means that they like the food. The food is so delicious.
Okay, so be prepared for the slurping noises when you are out having a delicious meal with your Chinese friends. Now, when we talk about countries far away, we expect big differences in food habits. But how about our European neighbors, for example, the Belgians? Normally, we would think that we have a lot in common, but Philip told me that even the time we spend eating our food is very different. For example, while in Germany, we often only take half an hour to eat during our lunch break, the Belgians take much more time to celebrate their food and are allowed to have a glass of wine with their lunch. So eating and drinking habits seem to be very different, even with our closest neighbors. So in our category Absolutely Fun, we hear what experiences Philip made comparing the German with the Belgian eating habits.
If only for the way we prepare the food in Belgium and the way Germans prepare their food. I've got the impression that for Germans, normal eating, like in-house eating, has to be functional, and in Belgium it has to be partly fun.
Okay.
So I think one of my former bosses told me that actually the best French cuisine you would find in Belgium. So we've got a very Burgundy-like kitchen, so it has to be opulent, it has to be slightly greasy, so not too healthy. You have to have fun when you eat it.
Okay, so it's more like a social occasion, you would say? So what are the kinds of things that you would do over lunch in Belgium, where in Germany you would just have lunch?
If you're working and you have lunch with your colleagues, you would actually spend a bit more money. I think eating in Belgium is generally more expensive than it is in Germany. But you would spend a bit more money and you would spend time. So eating with my colleagues, as long as I worked in Belgium, would take about, say, 3/4 to up to an hour. That would be no problem, and your boss wouldn't mind. If you go eating in Germany, it has to go fast. And like in half an hour, you have to be back in the office. But you would spend a bit more time. You would generally drink something with it. It's not completely forbidden to have a glass of wine or a glass of beer with lunch. You can't overdo it, of course, but you can.
Okay. Well, that was the impression I got in Brussels as well, that when we went out and we met for lunch, that most people would order some wine with it. And I think in Germany that would be something of a no-no at lunchtime before you go back to the office. I think people wouldn't want to see you out in the open. We were sitting outside. For me, it was a kind of Mediterranean touch somehow.
It is, yeah. I worked in the Flemish part and in the Walloon part. And in the balloon part, you wouldn't have any meal or lunch without a glass of wine or a bottle of wine going along with it. In the Flemish part, it depends. It really depends. It's more like if it's really, really business-like in the afternoon, you wouldn't drink alcohol. But if you know that you're going to be at the office and only at the office, why not? You know,
nobody
will notice. But it's not really forbidden. I know that when I came over to Germany and I had like friends over at the weekend and I had a beer at noon or in the afternoon, German friends would go like, okay, he's from the outside, he doesn't really know how you behave in Germany. And in Belgium, that's, you know, you simply acceptable. Do that. Yeah, that's acceptable.
It's funny because somebody told me that the Germans think that the Belgians or the French are alcoholics because they see them at lunchtime drinking alcohol. And the other way around, the French sometimes think that the Germans are alcoholics because Germans tend to open a bottle of wine in the evening outside a meal. And apparently for French people, that is very weird to just drink and not have a meal at the same time. So somehow it's a kind of paradox. Both parties think that the other nation is a nation of drinkers because we use drinks in different contexts.
Yeah, I think as far as Belgians are concerned, you would either drink with a meal or drink something apart from the meal outside of lunch or evening meal. And you would simply have like a good beer in the evening. And in Belgium, you can actually have one beer and stay with that beer for 2 hours. Nobody will mind, and not even in a pub. Or you drink a glass of wine. You wouldn't say it the other way around. Yes, the idea that Germans drink a lot more alcohol is definitely present in Belgium, because the idea that we have of Germans is, of course, you know, what's it called again? The Oktober Party or Oktoberfest in Munich, where the smallest pint of beer is a liter, you know, and that's something which comes in buckets, and that's something that we as Belgians wouldn't understand. You know, the largest beer that we have is a third of a liter, and then you would stay with that. You would normally not drink more than two of that.
As we were drinking one of those famous Belgian beers while we were doing the interview, I asked Philip to read out what it said on the back of the beer bottle, and was surprised to find out that he was reading something which sounded very much like a prayer in the church. Not surprisingly, perhaps, if you know that the most famous beers in Belgium are brewed by monks in abbeys and monasteries.
Geef ons heden ons dagelijks bier. We brouwen het ginder en drinken het hier, eentje voor de dorst en eentje voor het plezier.
Let me translate for you this doubtful Dutch beer prayer. It says, give us today our daily beer. We brew it there and we drink it here. One for the thirst and one for plaisir. In our last category, absolutely adventurous, I met Karina Meyer, a student from the Rhein Ahr campus in Remagen, who did an internship in Hong Kong, searching for a cultural change and new experiences. She gives us some insights into the experiences with the Chinese cuisine. It seems that she was eager to try everything that the Chinese put on her plate. She often went out to try and to enjoy the variety of Chinese cuisine with her colleagues. Karina is really adventurous and was looking for a totally new experience, and that was exactly what she got.
I wanted to go to a totally different country to gain a new experience, and of course the aspect of the Olympic Games in Beijing were the most important point for me, and it perfectly fit with my practical training semester abroad. So I wanted to go abroad in this semester, and the Olympics were exactly at this time. So
now, normally, of course, I would now ask you about the internship and what you learned and how you improved your business skills and everything. But in fact, today for our show, I would like to ask you a little bit about food. Now, before you went to Hong Kong, did you have an idea about Chinese food?
Yes, of course. We went to the normal Chinese restaurants here in Germany, had our typical sweet and sour pork. But honestly, I have to say I liked it, but I don't need it every day.
Now, when you arrived in Hong Kong, did you find the same food as you would have found in a European Chinese restaurant?
No, definitely not. For me, it was totally different.
Uh-huh. What was different?
It's the taste and the way you have dinner. Maybe it's just my feeling because you spend so much time with friends there and have dinner together. And perhaps this is the reason why it was different for me. We went there with the whole office, sometimes for a lunch break or even after office hours, just to spend time together and have a nice chat outside the office. It's a great way to get to know people better. Yes, for us it was a lot more relaxed, especially for me as a foreigner, to talk to them about my hobbies or what we are doing at home, details about my family. And it's different if you talk in the office or when you have dinner together.
And who would pay in this context?
One person paid, and then it was always another person. So when we went out the next time, it was not the same person, of course.
Ah, so you took it in turns.
Yes.
Now, you said that the food is quite different from the Chinese food that we eat here in Europe. Can you explain what the difference was?
Yes, for me it was, because there in Hong Kong we had things like Peking duck or dim sum, things that I never ate here before in Germany, and that was real Chinese food for me.
Now, explain to us a little bit, what is dim sum? That sounds very Chinese.
Dim sum is a kind of appetizer, so you have many different kind of appetizers. They are put in the middle of the table, and they look like small packages, some like balls, but most of the time you don't know what's in it. So if it's meat or if it's a vegetarian dim sum, it's kind of a surprise sometimes.
Okay, did the people who took you out for dinner tell you what was in these little parcels?
Yes, when I asked them, they always told me what's in it. And I was very open-minded and told them that I will try everything. So they also ordered things like chicken legs, but they always said that I don't have to eat it. I can decide it on my own. But I really liked this aspect, that they tried to show me so many different things.
I've heard that sometimes Chinese people try to shock the foreigners a little bit with their food. Did that happen to you as well?
Yes, for me it was the chicken leg on my first day in Hong Kong when we had our first official dinner together, and they asked me what I would like to order, and I said, mm-hmm. I don't have a clue, just order for me, I will try it. And I said, in general, I eat everything. So they said, okay, so let's test if you really eat everything.
I never know, what can you actually eat of that part of the chicken?
Yeah, there are the nails, but in fact, you can eat everything except the nails there. Yeah, okay. The bones are so small and so thin that you can eat them.
Ah, right, so you eat the whole chicken leg.
Yeah, but okay. In general, it just tastes like a skin and it's a bit fatty, so no special taste.
In fact, while here we have the impression that Chinese food is a little repetitive, you are saying that in China there was a lot more variety?
Yes, I love the food in China, and it's not only the variety in the Chinese food. You can also have the Korean food or the Japanese, so you can switch every day. It doesn't become boring.
In these restaurants, when I went, I found it a little difficult to find the right dishes because I don't speak one single word of Chinese. And to my surprise, in Hong Kong, many people in restaurants didn't speak English either.
I had the same impression, especially in the local restaurants. The people there in general don't speak English. So you have the choice. You can go in there and have a look at the card. And in most cases, it's only in Chinese characters. And then you choose something and don't have an idea what you will get. Or sometimes there are pictures, but only sometimes.
Well, if chicken feet depicted in a picture on the menu do not whet your appetite, I'm not sure what will. So that's it. This is the end of show 117, our food show. I'm Laurent Borgmann. Bon appétit, as Julia Child would say. If you like to share intercultural experiences about food or other topics with us or with the other listeners, do not hesitate to contact us on our homepage at absolutely-intercultural.com. We are always happy to see shared experiences from all over the world. By the way, I will be starting to learn some Turkish soon, so I might share some experiences about the learning process with you too. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 18th of September. Bon appétit und bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.